everybody, what is up? It's Friday night, and that means independent comics, independent wrestling. It's Indie Alley, your favorite comic book show. You know it is, and you know you're a closet wrestling fan. So you're here for the wrestling, you're here for the comics. Welcome. Fred, how you doing tonight?
I'm waiting for those closet fans to come out and join us.
They do. They need to come out. They need to join us. I know they listen to the second half of the show. They comment on the comics, but they hang around for Joey's jokes. I know they do.
Yes, and so do I.
24/7, I'm sure.
Yes. But to answer your question, I'm doing good. How about yourself, Andrew?
I'm doing all right. It's Friday. I don't have to do anything tomorrow other than edit and maybe watch. Is there football yet? I hope there's football.
Yeah. No, but there's a AAA match with AEW. In there too. You can watch it on Twitch for free.
Yeah, folks, for free, superhero fans. And they look just like superheroes. They have masks and colors and they fly and make heroic poses.
Yeah.
Secret identities.
I have an idea. Instead of watching your gamers play Fortnite, you can turn over there and type in AAA.
Yeah.
And watch wrestling.
There you go. I think the smoke show is going to be there. You won't be sad about her being there. That's for sure. So,
it's never disappointing when she's there.
No, I think we got off topic. The nerds are like dropping off like flies. They said they were going to talk about comics. All right. Well, we've got three great comics this week. We have Livewire, Weatherman, Dark Red, and the finale of Skyward. We say goodbye to an old friend.
So that's four.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm helping you out.
Steiner math. All right.
We're going to have to start drug testing.
Wanted. Fugitive Livewire reveals that the Syat Security and Education Program is the evil organization Omen to the world. Will Phoebe Daniels choose to defend Omen or go with Livewire and fight? Find out in the climactic final issue of Livewire Art 2, The Guardian. Written by Vida Ayala. Art by Kano. Letters by Sadia Timofonte. Cover by Kenneth Rockford. And variants. This is Valiants. Lots of variants. Paul Renewed. Raza. And Cary Randolph and Emilio Lopez do a cover. I like Cary Randolph. He's becoming one of my favorites. I might have to look for that. Published by Valiant. This is Live Wire.
I'm going to keep it real with you right here. The first arc of Live Wire was kind of depressing. I expected a lot from Vita, but I don't think it was her, because the second arc has been, how would my kids say it? It's lit. Or maybe it's Liddy.
Liddy?
Yeah, it's been fantastic, actually. Yeah. The last four issues have been great. What I like about it is Amanda is becoming a better person, and she's standing up for what's right. I love that she's saving a group of children from a government-sponsored program. Kind of has like an X-Men feel to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely the Syats.
And then my favorite part about just the writing and stuff is, like, no matter how many times Amanda got knocked down, she doesn't give up. She keeps grinding. And I really like that part. How do you feel about the writing, Andrew?
Oh, the writing, per se, has gotten a lot better. I didn't really enjoy the first arc. And it kind of was disappointing because I really liked the character and I really liked the writer. And I was like, oh, no, something's not right here. Looking back on it, I think it was a combination of things. She was trying to wrap up some threads left over from the Secret Weapons series and from the Harbinger Wars, too. You know, like, so in other words, they didn't just have her completely forget and abandon those kids. So they kind of answered the questions and then allowed her to move on and have her own comic book away from those kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was part of it. Then the second arc got better. We have a different editor. Heather Antos is now editing this, and, you know, maybe that's something too. Maybe they work well together and she's found her groove. But yeah, it's much more enjoyable. This is more the Live Wire I know, the Live Wire that interacts with Ninjak more. And yeah, this is, I really enjoyed this last arc in this last climax. That fight was amazing against the big girl. I forgot her name already. Her antagonist through this whole thing, that bigger trainer woman. Man, they had some knockdown, bloody fights. And the dialogue was great. Like it talks about the young girl, Phoebe Daniels. I like the way how that ended. We'll be seeing more of her probably.
Yeah, is the girl's name Jada or Jada?
Jada, yes. Jada was the big woman. She's like the trainer of the Psyots. And she's the personal trainer of Phoebe Daniels. And she's big, man. She's a big, strong woman.
She's like the Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Yeah, she's like, what's her name from NXT? She's from like big old, why can't I remember her name? So we'll just move on. Anyway.
No, let me help you out there. Big girl, NXT.
With the hair. With
Bianca Belair?
Yeah, Bianca Belair. Okay.
See, we did it. We got through this. So, you made your point.
Man, I'm having some senior moments tonight. But yeah, it was really good, and there's a lot. They had multiple fights through the three issues, and each one was more violent than the last. And
yes.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, like, those fights you speak of, like, is it Kano? Is that how you say the artist's name?
Yes.
Their art is really good. I like all the action panels that she's really paired with Vita's storytelling. Actually, you know, makes this book flow really well.
Yeah, a lot of motion in the fight, the teeth gritting, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just, you really feel that they're having a knockdown fight. Yeah, really good. The color is great. Yeah, can't go wrong with this book. I wouldn't have said that a month ago, but can't go wrong now.
Right, and don't forget, like, the letter, what is Sidia? With their letters with, like, the TV anchors and stuff, I thought that was done well. The part where, was it... I forgot who wrote the letter to Amanda.
It was the head of who's working with Omen. I cannot remember her name right now, but she's like basically the bad woman. But right. Is she the bad woman? That's what we don't know. She's the one who runs the what's it called, the PSYOP program, uh-huh. And she's working with Omen. But she claims that she's trying to amend her mistakes, and she's helping these children. I guess we'll never know.
Yeah, and what I liked about that part where she, you know, they were doing the lettering was that it was actually looked like it was written on lined paper, so it felt like you were actually reading the letter. I thought that was a nice touch. But yeah, and this has been a really good book. It's actually probably my favorite Valium book right now, until maybe I don't know, next week.
Oh, I'm still feeling Fallen Warrior. Until we'll see next week. You're telling me good things. I haven't read it yet. So. But I'm still on Fallmore. Yeah, definitely get on this book. This is traditional Valiant. One thing Valiant never fails to deliver on is quality art. And once again, there's lots of great art. Lots of great covers. I named some of those artists. There's always great variants. Doing good stuff as usual. Strong characters. Yeah.
They've got a lot of good writers coming in there. They got like the who's who writing teams in Valiant right now with like Cullen Bunn. He's got, I think he got Roku. He's doing that book too coming up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mags Visaggio is doing damn it, I forgot who it was. Was it Mirage? Dr. Mirage? Is that who it is?
That sounds right. Who's doing Killers?
Killers is by B. Clay Moore.
Interesting. I don't know that name off the top of my head.
Yeah, they got it going on. Don't forget Teenie Howard's still writing for them.
Fallen Warrior, right? She's Fallen Warrior, I believe.
Yes. Yep.
No, she's Forgotten Queen. Excuse me.
Oh, no. Fallen Warrior.
Dan Abbott.
Sorry, Dan.
They both start with an F. Yes. So, but yeah, good stuff. Definitely check out Livewire. I like where it's going. There's some social commentary mixed in there. If you look into it, read it a little deeply. Some good stuff. Definitely. Vita's back on track. All right. Let's move on to the next book, The Weatherman Number 2, introducing Pace and Pickles, an exciting and strange new ally guarding a horrible secret. Nathan Cross and the crew of the Disco Queen scour the ruins of Earth, for the woman responsible for wiping Nathan's mind, only to find themselves in a fight to the death against mysterious genetic monstrosities. And not everyone makes it out alive. You've been warned. Written by Jody LeHoop, art and cover by Nathan Fox, colors by Moreno Dincio, letters by Steve Wand. We have multiple variant covers. One is by Andrew Robinson and another one by Mike Niola with colors by Dave Stewart. This is an image book. This crazy book is called The Weatherman.
Okay, yeah. For everyone that listens that smokes weed, you're going to have to fire up right now, okay? Because this stuff is wild. You need to calm down and just concentrate on the stuff we're about to tell you about.
Oh, man.
This book, like, the warning is, like, if you never read Shirtless Bear Fighter or the first arc of Weatherman, you should be warned because this book is freaking nuts. And one thing I do like before we get into the nutty stuff is Pickles and Pace. Pickles is like a polar bear of some sort, I guess you could say. And Pace is like a little girl who has no use of her legs. She has braces on them. And I think she has them on her arms too, or one of her arms, if I'm maybe correct.
Mm-hmm.
But she seems kind of optimistic and carefree. And one thing I noticed in this book, I don't know if you caught it, Andrew, she's on a search for her comic books, and I respect that.
Yes. Yes, she's in the shop, and she's throwing books left and right like that, that, that.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
And then she scores the one she wants.
Yeah, I respect that. But the nutty stuff, like the stuff that's a little crazy is we see like panels of this guy getting like tested on. He gets his arm cut off with nothing, no sedatives or anything to like help him, you know, not feel pain. And his arm starts growing back. But before his arm starts growing back, they put it in with a rat. And yeah, the rat goes up to it and just freaking torches him. Like the whole thing goes to shit. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? Like there's so many different things in here that's crazy. Like scenes where what's that woman made out of? Like, she's like half human, half cockroach or something. It looked like it was really, really crazy stuff. But that's expected, especially with this this team. I was surprised when Andrew said he wanted to do this one without even reading it, because I had already read it and I was like, oh, this stuff's gonna, it's gonna get him.
And not only had I not read it, I had not read number one yet.
Yes,
I hadn't read Weatherman since they had taken a break. So I thought the first arc or the first volume, whatever you want to call it, was crazy. This is nutballs. They're really embracing the crazy. First, let's talk about how beautiful the book is. I mean, the colors in this book, crazy color palettes. I mean, just nut colors that they don't care. There's like bright yellows and bright oranges and pinks and just boom. It's like an overload of color. The characters are drawn kind of very cartoony in the facial expressions. And that little girl, like you said, let's see, she's Pace, right? The Pickles, yes, is the Pace. She reminds me of something out of an anime. You know how there's always a little girl in the anime movies that's always just all smiley and goofy and kind of crazy and very like over hyper? That's what, yeah, she's like. That's, yeah, what I got from her. Yeah, that's going to be a fun character. And then you have, you know, Nathan, the original Weatherman. He's just, he's an idiot. I mean, plain and simple, he's an idiot. And, yeah.
But do you forget he's an idiot, but you love to root for him. You know what,
yes,
I'm saying? Like, because you feel sorry for the guy.
At times. There's other times you feel sorry for that poor woman that's having to protect him. Imagine that you're tasked with protecting an idiot because this idiot is the key to saving the world. Yeah, that'd be a difficult mission.
Yeah. I really like the art, like the details in the backgrounds of like where the Pace and Pickles is, you know, adventuring through the city. And it's kind of like you got taco trucks, on their side and stuff. And it's really done well. I like all the stuff in the background. Except I was a little weirded out by, like, the nudity of the people at the end. What is going on here?
Yeah, I blocked that a little bit. A lot of people that need to go to the gym without clothes on. Yeah. It's like your nightmare nude beach scenario.
But you know what? Those are probably the type of people you find at the nude beach, actually. Freaks. We know you, freaks.
No. We know. Yeah, they're on Earth somewhere. And this, yeah, it's a lot of fun. And there's a neat little twist and surprise if you're actually reading the book and following the story. They're going to have to come up with a new mission based on what they learned at the end of this book. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, good stuff. Definitely, I would recommend it.
Yeah. Oh,
it's all over the place too. So.
Yeah. One more thing though, like the lettering on this, like on the action scenes and stuff, where it's like saying whoosh or certain things like that. I thought that was a nice touch where it's like all different colors, like too, the letters were, and I enjoyed that too. But yeah, this is definitely a book to like keep your eye out on. But you have to like want to have like mindless fun because that's all this book is just crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking at those letters you're talking about, and they're almost like they're part of the background.
Yes.
Part of the design, because they're huge, and they're incorporated into the background. Big, bright colors, like we talked about, purple letters, orange letters, you know, big old yellow letters, big old red letters, yeah.
Yep.
Very, very crazy. But, yeah, I don't think there's a crazier book out right now, to be honest, when you put it all together, you know. The crazy story, the crazy characters, and the overload on your senses when it comes to the art.
What was that book that we did on the street level floppies? Like, was the kids that were smoking weed and their family turned into aliens?
Burnout.
Yeah.
I think this is weirder than burnouts, but yeah, I remember.
Yeah. No, definitely this is weirder because, I mean, but it's expected just because if you've ever read Shirtless Bear Fighter, you know what you're getting into if you read that. If you read that and you still enjoyed like this team like I do, then you know what you're getting into.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people like it. It came back, like I said. Did that normally happen, though? Did they start renumbering? Because that throws me off, too, that it's issue one and issue two.
Yeah, it says volume 2, issue 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how they number it.
Okay, that's just them, though, because I don't think anyone else does that.
Maybe
I'm wrong.
That's where it's at. That's where the weirdness comes in.
Yeah, because like Crowded didn't come back and start a renumber, for example.
Nope.
Oh, well. Just more weirdness, like you said. All right, let's move on to our next book. One of Fred's favorites. Dark Red number 5. Chip is trapped in an abandoned oil refinery with an army of Nazi vampires. His only allies are a sick woman and a fumbling alcoholic. The end is near, doom awaits, and Chip, the angry, lonely rural vampire, finally gets his chance to be a good guy. A contemporary and horrifying tale of vampirism in the heart of America, one that'll make you jump right out of your boots. Written by Tim Seeley. Art by Corin Howell. Colorist Mark Elgert. Lettered by Marshall Dillon. Cover by Aaron Campbell. Aftershock book. This is Dark Red. Nazis, Fred.
Yes. And let me tell you, I enjoy this title so much that I named my fantasy football team the Dark Red Zone. That's what I call them.
Nerd.
Yep, that's me. Okay, what I like about this book is this book's action-packed. I love the humor. But depending on your political beliefs, this book may turn you off a bit. It's kind of like Seeley's play on modern-day politics, so to speak, I would say. I really enjoy like the funny dialogue that Seeley puts in this book, especially there's this one panel where he's giving the air fresheners, which are crosses, to Evie, yeah. And she's like, what, air fresheners? You want me to smell like a bingo hall? Like, that stuff's funny to me. Evie, I think, is attacking these people with it, and she's like, Holy Father, Holy Ghost, the smell of AutoZone cross air freshener, or something like that, something to that effect. It's I can't remember quite offhand, but yeah, it's some crazy stuff. But to go with that, the art by Corin Howell, some may say it's a little cartoonish, but I really like that, the style, because I think it you know, adds to the fun, because we're talking serious topics with politics and vampires, and I think it's fun. Like, her art paired with Seeley's dialogue, I really enjoy it. But how do you feel about this book, Andrew?
Interesting you say about the art. You made me think right there. It is fun and cartoony when you're talking about humans. To me, the vampires are actually drawn very horror-like and very frightening. The vampires are kind of scary looking. I wouldn't call them cartoony, to be honest. Like when they're full-on vampire, you know, there's the fangs and the eyes. They've got a, you know, a good horror feel. But when she's dealing with the people, the main characters, yeah, they have funny facial expressions and exaggerated noses and ears and that type of stuff. So I see what you mean by cartoons. It's a little serious. There is a speech where it gets in again about, you know, rural America and being left behind and jobs and some of that stuff. So that's been one thing that makes this one suffer, where I didn't like it as much as last week, is Cam is not around with us anymore. And Cam was missed. He was needed. Cam was easily the funniest character. And his absence, I missed it. You know, I needed some more Cam.
Right. I totally agree. But we did get some panels where, remember, Chip had that garlic salt and he's like throwing at people, and there's a lot of action art panels where they're just dumping it down, the garlic salt down the vampire's throat and stuff. I thought that was kind of hilarious, because, you know, I was wondering the last issue, like, what's he going to do with the garlic salt? And then to see it, you know, come over to this issue, I thought that was well done. Yeah, man, this is the last issue of the first arc, and it's been a good first arc. I enjoy it a lot.
It looks like we're going to get in the second arc, it's going to split into two stories happening simultaneous. Because I don't think Chip is going to leave small town. And we have this other story now that's going to be happening in Chicago, right? Is that where they went? I think
yes.
They went in Chicago.
Yep.
So yeah. I think we're about to expand this world a bit. And either Chip's going to have to leave or they're going to come to him. Something's going down.
True.
Good times, though. But yeah, Tim Seeley has a hit on his hands. Corin Hal has become like a name I've seen a lot in the last, like, what I'm going to say, maybe 6 to 8 months. I mean, Calamity Kate. What else did she do recently that I really like? Something else that she's just been on a lot of books that I like. So well, she's popping up all over the place.
Especially when we've talked about this book, what, 5 times now or 4 times now?
Well, there's 5 issues. We've at least talked about 3, I would think.
Yeah, and it's been a good run. I do enjoy like the lettering too, because remember when we spoke about like I think it was issue 3, mm-hmm. where it was the lettering was in cursive and stuff, and when Chip's writing the letter at the beginning of the issue, he's writing in cursive. I mean, who writes letters anymore? That's how old school Chip is, and he's even representing with his cursive writing because he's showing his age. Because I mean.
Well, that's 2 books that have cursive, because you just finished talking about the cursive in Livewire.
Oh, yeah. In the letter scene there. Yeah. Bringing it back, yo.
It's coming back. Old school's in. So, kids, you better learn how to read cursive, or you're going to miss out on kids some good would comics.
Kids would be writing more in cursive if Stranger Things was doing it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, to the all honesty, like Aftershock has been doing really good things lately, and I especially like the relationship between Tim Seeley and Aftershock, and I'm in for like the full run of this title. It's been tremendous, to say the least.
Doing good stuff. This is definitely a good book. One of the top books probably that's come out this summer. All right, I guess it would be spring/summer. All right, next book. This one is with bittersweet sadness we say goodbye. Skyward number 15, Fix the World, the Conclusion. In the aftermath of war, how does Willa pick up the pieces? How does she deal with this very different status quo? And what the hell does Willa want to do with her life now that her world's completely changed? Written by Joe Henderson, art and cover by Lee Garbett, colorist Antonio Fabella, lettered by Simon Boland, image Skyward. A moment of silence for Skyward.
Was that long enough?
Yeah, that was long enough.
Yeah, I'm sad to see this book go too, because Skyward has given us one of the best heroes that you could think of, to have as a lead character. and that's Willow. Especially if you have like a young daughter or something, somebody to cheer for, because to imagine like the things that she's went through from issue 1 to issue 15, things that she's overcome, especially like not having her mom around, losing her dad the way that she did, things like that. I mean, it's been a difficult ride for her, but I think they ended this very well. But I also do feel like there's a chance that we could get more. They left the door open a little bit at uh-huh. the end. So I'm not ready to say goodbye to Skyward.
Yeah, I see where you're at, but I think it's goodbye for a while. It's funny. This book, we started this book when we started Street Level Floppies. Mm-hmm. So we've been on a journey with this book.
Yes.
And I didn't pick up the first maybe one or two, because I read indie comics, but I didn't read indie comics the way now I read indie comics. Now I read like every damn indie comic. So I didn't pick up Skyward right away. And I started hearing, oh, you got to check out that book. You got to check out that book. It's pretty cool. And I go, what is it? A girl that's floating? I don't know. Man, what a journey. What a fun time Skyward has been. The character Willa is such a cool character. We don't have enough characters like that. Her growth from, you know, just kind of being a young daughter to becoming like this hero and this leader and this, she's an equal to her mother almost, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now she's going off this, all the stuff that she's done, this journey, such a cool book. And oh, I'm so in love with the art. And again, he gave me the gift of like three pictures at the end of this that aren't colored. And I'm telling you, Fred, I'm going to cut these fucking pictures out of my book and color them. I just want to color them so bad. I'm going to ruin my comic. Yeah, it's too bad it's gone. But yeah, it was a great way to end it. It ended on such a positive note. It wrapped up everything we needed to know. If this was the end, you weren't left wondering about stuff. Everything was wrapped up nice. So.
Yes, and like to say the least, like I know we always speak about like really good teams on books with Crowded, and this book particularly, like I feel like this might have, they rival each other when it comes to teams, but I really like the art on Skyward, like Lee Garbett's, his art paired with Antonio Fabella's coloring is amazing. Like just thinking like the splash pages with all the butterflies, and what were those people called, like the farmers, or is that what they were? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those, that was awesome. Like, or just even the last page with Willa floating in the air to end the book, like just his facial expressions, because I'm a big facial expression guy. Like if you give me people showing emotion the way that runs with the panels, and this is the flow is so perfect with this stuff. Man, great book. I don't know what to say. I just don't want to let it go.
Yeah, it's going to be weird not having this one to look forward to. I know next month I'm going to be like looking for it and remembering, oh, yeah, it's over. Oh, well, shit.
Yeah.
But, well, at least we have Resonant. Tells you they're kind of the same. It's going to fill that little spot until it comes back for me. So.
Right, except I feel like that's going to have a little horror vibe to it.
Yeah. It'll be scarier than Skyward was.
So we're not going to get butterflies and stuff. We're going to get other things. Yeah. Well, we get grasshoppers already, right?
Do we have they're crickets or something. Yeah, I think they're crickets. So, but yeah, we say goodbye. Some things to point out, which made this book so great. The hero is a woman of color. Her co-hero, her sidekick, her boyfriend, the guy that's with her, is disabled. There's just a lot of neat things. There's the friends that are gay couple. There's a lot of mm-hmm. interesting things that give representation to a lot of people in a very organic, awesome way. This book just, yeah, it was, wow.
You said it right there. Skyward has something for everyone.
Yeah. So if you didn't read Skyward, grab the trades. You won't be sorry. I mean, you can get the first one now. Mm-hmm. Is it two or three trades for Skyward?
This one just finished up arc 3.
Okay, so it's a total of 3 trades. So you could probably get the first 2 trades.
Yes.
Yeah. Watch for a sale on Image. I'm sure there'll be one soon.
And there's a chance that you can get the first trade in an upcoming episode.
Oh, Fred has extra copies of something.
Yes, we're going to have to figure out what to do exactly to do this giveaway. I can't be shipping it to Australia. I can't afford that. I don't ball out like that. Yeah. But we're going to have to come up with something, so stay tuned, and we'll have it all set up for you. Yeah, we may have
to
keep this
to America and North America, and even North America.
Yeah.
It might be tough. See, because we want to pack it right. We don't want to get your book bent up. So
probably just in the U.S., I'll probably be able to.
You're going to get Canada bombed by the Canadians. I'm trying to save you.
But. Hey, if I get more, if we can get some more Canadian listeners, I will send it up north. I mean, I'm just right by Windsor. I'm not far. I mean,
can you drive it up? Just pass it over?
I can get across the border in like 30 minutes.
And mail it in their mail post office?
It's possible. I have a visa.
Here I am sending you on a road trip for a comic.
I like Tim Hortons.
Nice. All right. Well, that's it for our four books this week. And there are four, not three. And is there anything else you need to toss out? Something else you read last week that you wanted to talk about that we didn't put on here?
I didn't come prepared to like talk about any other books. No. Wait, aren't we supposed to tease something? Okay. We're teasing something next week then. I just seen the head move and said, nope. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I read Bone Parish. I read a few other books. But no, I wasn't prepared for that. So I think I'll grab Joey and we'll move on to the next.
It's time to wrestle, nerds.
Joe, what the hell is on your head? What the fuck is that?
Oh, Lord, nerd. Oh, are you one of those, what are they called on West Coast Avengers? The shark.
The little shark dude.
Yeah, the little shark dude on West Coast Avengers.
Was his name Steve?
Yeah, Steve, but there was a name for what he was. Land sharks. You're a land shark.
What the hell is on your head? Looking like Shark Boy and stuff.
El Tiburon. He's a luchador, so it's got to be in Spanish. Are you there? Can we hear you? Because we're not hearing you.
He hasn't said anything.
He didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
He's taking in this moment. This is where you put like background noise for all the fans to be like, yeah.
Shark Boy. So, Shark Boy, what'd you watch this week?
We watched New Japan, a lot of it. We watched Ring of Honor and MLW.
Nice. Very good. So why don't we talk about Ring of Honor first? Let's go ahead and hit Ring of Honor. What did everyone think of Ring of Honor this week? Same old, or did they deliver something interesting?
It was better than better than like 3 weeks ago. It's starting to get better, and I'm guessing it's because they're catching up with the time that they're actually recording it.
See, I disagree with you on that because the final match, the Briscoes came out without the belts. So they're not caught up, right?
Joe didn't. Spoiler alert. Joe didn't know that they lost the belts.
Joe, it's been out for... That show was 2 weeks ago?
Last week.
Joe's been stalking Selena De La Renta's Twitter page. That's why he can't keep up.
I don't
even
have Twitter.
You don't need it. You just Google her. It goes right there.
The Ring of Honor Manhattan show. They faced the Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah.
Mass hysteria.
Well, I don't think it's mass hysteria. I think it's another one.
I was hoping that they won because...
Who?
The Briscoes, because the Gorillas of Destiny don't even really wrestle there at all.
Until this week, I was telling your dad, the problem is that the Briscoes don't have anyone to fight. They have to bring in the Gorillas of Destiny, or they have to bring in Roosh. And what's his name? Who is his partner?
His brother?
Yeah, his brother from CMLL.
Dragon Lee?
Dragon Lee, so that they have appointments. Or opponents, not appointments. so, there you go. What did you guys think of the ladies' match? We have Sumi's back, and she had a new woman was introduced. What did you think?
I thought it was pretty good, especially for them, because of... you know, we're not seeing the lore like you mentioned, or what's the other girl's, what's the champ's name? Kelly Klein.
Kelly Klein.
These two were, you know, what was this girl's name? Carissa Rivera. She faced. She was a little green, but Sumi carried her, and that's expected because Sumi was trained by Asuka, so you could tell, you could see hints of it.
Yeah, Sumi was their original champ for a long time, too, so she has a lot of respect and impact. Or not in impact in ROH. All right, well, unless there's anything else to add to ROH, that was all I saw.
I just thought, like, the Dragon Lee Briscoe's match was pretty good. For them, I didn't like the Silas Young hitting Josh Goods in the goods and roll up pin, but I mean, they gave us four matches this week, and that's more than normal, so that was pretty good. I was okay with that.
Josh, well, if they had a regular match, like without him cheating, I think it would have been a good match, that pretty good match. Because, like, in the beginning of the match, you saw how Silas Young was able to actually wrestle, which you really never see.
So you're saying he can't wrestle?
No, he can, but he just cheats at the end. He doesn't make it a good match.
He's supposed to,
because of his character.
He has a mustache, that's what they do.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm just having a little bit of when it comes to Ring of Honor. Nothing grabbed me.
I'm thinking because they don't use Dragon Lee or Rouge as like singles competitors, maybe they should tag team them.
Well, that was a good match. I just wish there was a purpose to it. It would have been a lot better, like, to set up maybe a fight for the belts or something. You know what I mean? Like, are we going to see them fight again? And if so, maybe they win the belts. Because Rush never loses on ROH.
he's undefeated, isn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't lose in ROH. So that means they would have to put the belts on them if they fought again for the belts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the Briscoes. I just don't know what they're going to do there. I mean, oh my, they're just getting old. And they need some new talent.
They've been there for a long time.
Yeah, like Lethal and those guys, Silas, Dalton Castle. I just don't get excited for those guys. All right, well, let's move on to MLW. MLW is a fun show. I mean, I have some couple things to nitpick on, but what did you guys think of MLW?
Dramatic pause. Dramatic pause.
Knee pad up, knee pad down.
It was Mance Warner, that's all you need.
The best match of the night.
You see Mance Warner just chop the ring post, and I was like, holy crap, he really hit that thing. I was like, man, this dude's crazy. We need more Mance Warner.
Yeah, Mance was great with Bestia. Bestia was solid. I was impressed.
Yeah,
He held his own. They got nasty with him. Selena added something to the match. Mm-hmm. A little silliness with the powder, but what the heck? It made it interesting. Hey,
it was a good way to end it.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the fat Warner took that nasty bump on those chairs. What about that little tiny box of tacks? Where'd he get that? He picked that up at Walmart on the way over, or at the dollar store, or something.
Yeah, he only bought one pack. Yeah. He bought one packet. That's all he had because he had to buy his light beers.
I'll take a six pack of light beer. I'll take some cigarettes and give me a little box of them thumbtacks over there. Throwing some beef jerky.
He turned his hat around and was like, red light on.
Yeah. So that was funny. But yeah, it looked good. He had those tacks sticking out of his head. And
yeah, there were like four of them.
Yeah. Well, there was only eight in the pack.
Yeah, well, he made use of what he had. Yeah. You can't say he doesn't use his props properly.
Yeah, he's all about drama.
He's a professional.
He's good. A professional.
You seen his face when he hit the chairs?
Yeah, I did. That was funny. I liked it. I thought it was funny. He's going to cry, but he was fake crying, you know?
Yeah, he's seriously growing on me. Like, he's quickly becoming one of my favorite, but I think it's just, like, his promos.
Yeah, his facial features. He does decent work. He's a lot of fun. Yeah. That's what I like about him. He made me forget about that nasty venue that I wish they'd hurry up and leave.
Oh, yeah. I'm tired of the horns.
I'm tired of that place. I want to go somewhere else. What else happened? Loki and...
Martinez.
Yeah, what did you guys think of that? Squash match? waste of time.
I think that they're ruining Ricky Martinez's career by just booking him like this, just yep. getting his ass kicked every week. I mean, seriously. Yeah.
And do we care what Conan has on the phone?
No, I didn't even pay attention to Conan. If you gave me MJF and we're talking about the phone, I'd listen.
Yeah, yeah. This show lacks some MJF. But I still found the Dynasty storyline kind of compelling because it's kind of funny. The whole like Dayton, what's his name, sister thing. You know, that's going to erupt into some nonsense. And when they tell Davey Boy Smith and Hart about it, and Teddy Hart just stays at the bar like, dude, it's okay. Just calm down. We have another round coming. So that was funny. What else? Someone else talk. What else?
Well, there was only, besides that, we just had what, the Von Erichs versus Contra?
Oh, I didn't like that. You guys go ahead and...
Not really, I didn't like it either.
I just don't like how Contra is losing so much to, like, I mentioned this to you, like, to greener wrestlers, guys that aren't as skilled yet, because they booked him to be so powerful, and then... What, they've wrestled two times and they've lost each time to him?
Yeah. That was horrible. I told you, I got mad. I left in disgust after watching that match because Contra's supposed to be your NWO. And, okay, don't, like, make them equals, but for this example, these two guys were like Hall and Nash, and two jabronis just came in and just beat Hall and Nash, you know? It just, they're supposed to be dominating everybody, just running roughshod through the whole MLW, destroying it, doing whatever, and they get beat by two guys that are brand new that didn't even look very good, to be honest.
They could, so they took out, like, the security and stuff, but they couldn't take out the, like, the Von Erichs?
No, because that was their way of trying to save face because they gave them a loss. Well, instead we'll have them build the security up. Nah, it's too late. You already screwed it up.
They could have lost... With, like, what is it, Joseph Samael? Like, maybe pulling out the ice pick or whatever he has, railroad tie, whatever the hell that thing is. Mm-hmm. And then they get disqualified. That's okay.
And then they beat down the Von Erichs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then,
and then Lawler comes running out, and there's a big brawl. Yeah, there you go. You set it all up.
So the face guys get the win, they cheat, and they still kick their ass. Then we all win.
Yeah, exactly. You build these guys up to be something special and you don't do anything. You need to keep them being something special. I don't think the Von Erichs are ready. From what I'm seeing, I don't think they're ready to be like your main events kind of guys.
Yeah.
Well, maybe just
not with Contra.
I don't even think they're better than the Hart Foundation or the Dynasty.
Well, yeah.
The Von Erichs. So that's why I say they're not better than Selena's crew with La Parca and them. I just don't think they're... meant it's time for them to be the top guys. That's it. I mean, I get the name and all that, but and the cowboy thing is so fake. These guys definitely ain't cowboys.
From Hawaii.
The dude wrestles shoeless. There's not a cowboy alive that would wrestle without shoes. They'd have boots on. So there we go. That's my nitpick for the week. All right. Anything else on MLW?
No, I mean, I'm interested to see what happens next week because it's taped in a new city.
When is Vegas supposed to show up?
I think the next, like, in the, aren't they taping in New York?
Savio Vega?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he might show up to there.
That makes sense.
I think they're taping actually tonight.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's move on to the G1 Climax. Okay. I'll be honest, I have not seen it all. I'm behind a little bit. But it's okay, you can spoil. It's been a lot of fun, but it's a lot of damn wrestling.
Do you want me to tell you who's like the leaders?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay, in the A block, we have Okada with 12 points. Kenta with 8.
Oh, so he lost again?
Uh-huh. Ibushi with 8.
Yeah, I told you Ibushi's going to do this.
Evil and Tanahashi tied with 6. You have Archer, Ospreay, Sonata, and Sabre with 4, and Fale with 2.
Wow, Sabre got another win.
So the B block, you might want to close your ears for this.
No, I'm ready.
Moxley's with 10.
So he lost.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you know who
to
you...
Jay White?
No.
To Toro Yano.
Oh my God.
He tied him up to the young lion dude with tape outside the ring. Got him counted out.
So look, imagine this. You leave WWE because of their comedy shit, and you get beat by the biggest comedy dude in the world.
Yeah, but he's been booked so strong, and he's got 10 points.
No, see, that's where people won't get mad because he lost to him.
Oh, I think it's okay. Yeah. I think it was okay. So and here, I think what it's about is, doesn't that then put him and White in a situation where White can still win this thing to make it interesting?
There's a possibility.
There's a lot of people that can...
Tied for second is Juice with 6, Ishii with 6, Yano with 6, Takagi with 6, Naito with 6, Goto with 6, Cobb with 6, White with 6, and Tai Chi is in last with 4.
Well,
good, because he sucks. I don't like him.
Well, Tai Chi's tied with Ospreay and those guys.
So, a Juice, Moxley, because they fight last, right?
They fight again, the last match before.
So that'll be a huge match because of that.
Well, I think the next match, is it tomorrow? Tomorrow or Sunday is Jay White, yeah.
Wow. Because Jay White has to win then.
So you have all these dudes at 6 that can catch up and take over. It's anybody's ball in the B block.
So Jay White beats Mox, you think? Or Jay White's out? Because if he loses to Moxley, he's out.
I think he beats him.
Wow.
Because I don't think Moxley needs to win this.
He doesn't need to win it.
You know, spoiler alert, if we look up the dates... The finals of the G1 and all that stuff, how close are they to All Out?
The last match of G1 for A and B bracket is on the 12th. All Out is the 31st.
But when are, like, because if he's in the finals, for example, he would have to be there for it. I wonder
they're both, aren't they taking place in the same city? They're in England, right? Where they're taping?
I think so.
Like the G1's taped in England?
Yeah, I think so. So it's the same weekend? So there's no way Mox can be in the finals?
It's the same day as All In.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. There's no way Mox can be in the final. He can't be at both places. So knowing that, is it Juice or is it White? Those are my picks on that side.
He could be there because it's taped like before it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So it's still within like 12 to 13 hours before.
Wow. But that's a pretty, pretty wild. Because that final's going to go the distance. How many minutes do you think they wrestle in that final?
Oh, no. If it's in England, it's only 6 hours ahead of us. So no, there's no way because he's not going to make it from England to here in 6 hours.
Yeah, he's got to make it to Chicago.
Are we sure it's in England?
No, we're not.
We need to look that up.
We need to be organized on that. Joey, that's supposed to be you. You're supposed to be the one that teaches the old guys.
What? Just playing an old school WCW on a Nintendo.
Supposed to be the one who gives us all the facts.
Well, I got like some like news that I'm looking forward to. So Hiromu Tanahashi has been injured for like since Andrew started watching New Japan.
Uh-huh.
And he's coming back at the... Or he's, like, supposed to come back at the, what is it, the junior show?
Uh-huh.
The super junior show? And, like, that's a huge deal because he used to be, like, one of the best juniors there.
Okay, so he's somebody that he could do, like, a Kenta-style thing. For someone like me who's not used to seeing him, it's just he's going to come back and just run through this thing a bit.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's called The Royal Quest, right? That's the 31st of, it's a Saturday, so it is in London. So, yeah, there's no way he's getting from London to here because they're only 6 hours ahead of Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah, and he has to get to Chicago.
So, yeah, that's not going to happen.
So that has to be factored in. Well, he could be in the semifinals, though. I don't even know how it works. You guys got to tell me. How many people advance? Just two, one guy from each block?
Yes. One from each block faced each other for the championship, I believe. And then they win a briefcase, if I remember correctly.
A briefcase and a trophy.
Like Carmella? They get to run around with a briefcase?
Yeah, like that. Except
except they don't need makeup to look like that.
Oh, okay.
Shots fired. I'm sorry.
Shots fired.
So I'm thinking, from my B block, I'm still thinking it's Naito or White.
I'm leaning towards your White now, but now I'm feeling Juice. What if Juice gets his revenge against Moxley?
My Juice. Give me a Juice.
What if he does, man? But he's not going to win at all. He's going to lose to whoever the A block is.
It's probably going to be Okada. It's like A block.
Yeah, they're doing that whole storyline where Okada's going to be the greatest wrestler in the history of the whole New Japan.
But here's the thing. Okada. If Okada wins it, he can choose who he faces at the next big match.
You mean like at the like their WrestleMania? What is it called? Wrestle Kingdom?
I believe so. I think that's how it works. I think he can choose. So
He chooses Kenta.
Ooh.
Because he feels Kenta's worthy for how Kenta did in the A block. And he's not going to choose the Gaijin. He's not going to choose Moxley or White or Juice Robinson.
Well,
Ospreay didn't win enough. But but he's going to choose Kenta.
I'll tell you, like, watching this, the one guy I've grown to appreciate is, what is his name? The dude with the, looks like the guy from Bloodsport.
Who looks like the dude from Bloodsport?
The junior heavyweight?
Yeah, the dude that Ospreay beat that was undefeated.
Yeah, he's done really well. He just lost.
No, Shingo.
Shingo? Yes. He doesn't look like the guy from Bloodsport.
Let me have my moment, Joe. Damn.
Yeah, I like Shingo too. I think he's Shingo, Ishii comes out of this looking good. Sonata's looked very good. They definitely have some people to build with. Mm-hmm. It's pretty wicked the way this tournament has worked. I mean, for me, it's a new thing. So is this awesome because they built up all these guys now coming out of it? Or is it kind of not cool because all the rest of the guys in the promotion haven't really got to do anything for 2 months or a month and a half? Like Yo and Sho and any of those guys, they're like afterthoughts.
They're juniors.
Yeah, but
that's
they're not getting
tournament.
Any TV at all. You know, really.
Well, yeah, and you see how Bushi is on the pre-show and, like, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Like, those are all juniors. You're Bushi. You're Kota Ibushi.
Your face is Bushi.
You guys sound like the NXT girls. Stop it.
He started it.
Bushi. You Bushi.
I can't wait till the juniors. That's my stuff. Like to see the cruiserweights and the Sabre Juniors and like Kota Ibushi versus like Will Ospreay or those type of matches.
We've already been seeing that.
Yeah, but
I've been seeing that. So
it's good. But it's like a whole tournament.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was a whole tournament too.
I don't want to see.
We've been watching this for like a month.
I don't want to see Fale versus.
Yeah, well, I'm
Okada.
No one wants to watch Fale.
I barely want to see Okada.
It's not perfect, but it's been a lot of fun for me, and I like that the winning means something.
Yeah.
When the guys lose, it's like devastating.
Yeah.
Even when the guys win, they're like all gassed and lying there like they can't believe they won. Damn, you know, that's what I like. Take note, AEW. That's what I want you to give me.
I like that the fans totally respect the wrestlers, too, and there's mutual respect back and forth between wrestlers and the fans.
Seems like the fans have been more excited than usual. Like, usually
they to see Jon Moxley, wouldn't you?
Now they get to hold the banners up and the little teddy bears that look like wrestlers.
Maybe they're becoming a little more Americanized. I was listening to one podcast where there is a lot of talk that the dual chant is starting to seep into New Japan. You know how in, like, NXT and all the ones you get the dual chant?
Yeah.
Where they just chant. Like, that's Cena starting to happen a little more. We're influencing their wrestling habits a little bit. But yeah, definitely been worth my $9. That is the best $9 I've spent on wrestling in 2 years. It's not even close. I've not gotten that kind of enjoyment from my WWE app ever. Sorry.
What?
Even with a good, there's been some good takeovers, but when you compare all the wrestling I've been able to watch, I can't even watch it all.
Right, it's pure wrestling.
But you can watch WCW. That's what I watch.
I saw it already.
Yeah, Joe, we're not 12 like you.
I like to watch ECW.
I saw it live. In case anyone's listening, I did watch it live. I recorded Raw back in the day. I recorded Raw on video cassette, and I watched Nitro live. I was in Nitro.
I did the same thing.
I thought you said you switched channels.
I did switch channels during commercial breaks, Joe. Yeah. We didn't have DVRs.
But you had to, but like
we didn't have picture in picture.
Nobody has that.
Yes, they do have that.
Who?
I just don't pay for picture in picture.
I don't understand why they got rid of picture in picture. I loved picture in picture. That was a good thing. Yeah. Anyway. Yep. You had to make choices back then. You couldn't watch everything live. So
well,
something
I
had to
WCW
be recorded.
Too. WWE is just story.
Or if you had like satellite TV like I did, 4 hours later you could watch it on the West Coast feed.
Oh, nice. Nice. No, that's not what I did. I had to record it. And the worst part, if I had to work on a Monday night because I was a bartender back in that time, then I had to make a choice. I couldn't record both. So something wasn't getting watched. Then I had to really pay attention to what the card was for the night.
I only watched the first part of WCW. Because that's where, the good matches. Where you get, the Christmas.
You never, but the NWO always showed up in the last hour, so.
Yeah, that's why I didn't watch it.
They showed up in the first hour and the last hour. They kind of disappeared in the third hour. But the third hour had all the cool cruiserweight stuff. The second hour had all the cool cruiserweight stuff and all the luchadors. They got stuck in there.
Yeah, that's my favorite part.
So, they were supposed to entertain in between the big name stuff. And that's where you saw the Jerichos and the Malenkos and, all those
Psychosis.
Guys.
Psychosis.
Juventud Guerrera.
L.A. Park. La Parka. Yep.
Of course, Rey Mysterio.
Junior.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So that's it basically for the shows this week. AEW sold out their tickets in 3 hours. That was kind of cool today. Their first show is sold out. What else is going on news-wise? AEW is going to crown their women's champion at the first show. Who do you guys think wins? Book it.
Probably Britt Baker.
No, I think it's going to be, well, maybe. I'd like to see, Britt Baker versus Bea Priestley, but I don't think that's who it's going to be.
I don't think so either. Not for the title.
I think that it's probably going to be maybe the Kongs.
One of the Kongs versus Britt Baker?
Yeah.
Awesome
I think
Kong.
One of the Asian girls versus Britt Baker.
Which one?
But I can't tell you which one.
Riho.
Riho's probably a good bet. But the other girl, she was tweeting a bunch of stuff.
And she's
one
yet.
One that was in the Daytona match. The one that was
Yuka
in the second
Saganaki?
Free pay-per-view.
What's her name?
Yukasaki Naki.
Yeah, her. I think I may be wrong, but yeah, so we'll see. But women's champ. And then Joey, who
yes.
is the mystery partner for Jericho, who are his two mystery partners. He's facing the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega, and he has two mystery partners. Come on, man, we've already guessed. Come on, take a guess.
Know.
Who might show up?
LAX.
Yeah, cheater. I have video here. I can watch you. Yeah, what do you think of that? Wouldn't that be awesome?
For Jericho, though, I don't know.
Well, no, Jericho's there to be with Omega. It's to sell, you know what I mean? So you have Jericho and Omega, and you have the Bucks versus LAX. It's a six-man tag team. But,
you know,
it's one. But it's just to get everyone on the team.
We're speculating, but I think there's a good possibility.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see who else it could
be.
No, if you look at the outlines of the pitchers, normally you can tell, but they both look like CM Punk or John Cena. And I don't think those guys are teaming up together. So,
yeah, that was.
I'm just saying, unless something real crazy happens.
Punk's not coming, man. Punk's not coming. I'm telling you now.
But John Cena might, you know. Got his hair.
I doubt it.
Ew. John Cena with hair.
Joe, we're not here to give beauty tips.
first. I saw a great interview I was telling your dad with David Boy Smith Jr. on that he was a kind of approached by AEW, but he can't wrestle in AEW because they don't want him. MLW doesn't want to let him wrestle.
They don't and let him or he can't?
Well, they're not going to let him. And so, then he was also talking about that New Japan, he wanted to be in the G1 really bad, and New Japan would not let him because New Japan doesn't want to work with MLW or AEW, really. And he said, well, what's the deal? They're working with Moxley. Why couldn't they work with me? He was kind of upset with them. He was dropping some bad words. Kind of interesting.
Well, yeah.
But he wants to go to AEW. He thinks they have a big man problem and they need big men.
So they're working on so they're letting MJF go in between and they're letting Moxley go in between?
I think MJF is done with MLW.
Yeah, I think that's the issue of just they're done. And Davey Boy does not want to end his relationship with MLW. He likes MLW. He just wants to be able to do both.
I like MLW. Mm-hmm. Well, what if Pillman replaces him?
Do you mean?
Yeah, like Pillman takes his tag spot. That's why they had that match, maybe.
They could, but I'm not going to give you a spoiler. There's some other reasons why he's staying in MLW, but yeah.
Look at Andrew with his insider information.
Yeah. Well, I spoiled one thing for him. I thought it was like common knowledge, and now I'm going to feel bad for the rest of the week.
No, I don't care.
He's going to go get mad and read up on it. And Andrew spoiled
it. I wasn't going to flip a table.
It's supposed to be a great match, too, so maybe look for the highlights. Supposed to be a pretty good match. So,
don't you already have it?
What?
The show.
What show?
The one where the Briscoes on there.
Something in Manhattan. It's called
Manhattan Mayhem or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna watch it. Find.
All right. Well, any other wrestling stuff we want to jump on?
Looks like he watched NXT. I didn't. I didn't.
Get it, Fred. I did too.
I watched it. I mean, I don't know what to think.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, should I get excited because Fandango came back and helped?
Ooh, Fandango?
Tyler. See, Bates. I didn't even know that because you know what the best part of the NXT experience was for me this week?
Pete Dunne?
No. They have a new feature where you can skip a match.
Oh, you can?
Have you seen that button? It's a button.
No.
Down there where you fast forward and it says skip to the next match.
Oh.
So I skipped it.
Skipped what? Fandango?
I skipped whatever match Tyler Breeze was in.
Jackson Riker versus
Tyler. Yeah, he was against the Sons of Anarchy. I didn't feel like watching them. So
I would watch Tyler Breeze, but not him.
What was his name in TNA?
What? How am I supposed to know?
The Riker dude. What was the guy that we didn't get his autograph in Cleveland? The buff dude.
Well, did you follow him and he didn't let you?
No, we didn't. We said he was right there and then we didn't. I gotta Google it.
Okay.
I don't know, but I don't like them. The Sons of Forgotten Anarchy. They're not.
Who said the Sons of Forgotten Anarchy?
What happened?
Not for me. So I hit that. I saw that. I went to fast forward it normal, and I see this button down in the left corner. It says skip to next match. I'm like, oh, well, let's try that out. Bam. Gunner. I did that twice on the show. It was really cool.
I figured it out before my dad did.
You didn't figure it out. You looked over my shoulder.
Shh. Let me have my moment.
He's done was cool.
Yeah, I like the end. He had his fingers like bent backwards and stuff, and then he just like gave up right there. And I was like, "Holy shit, I would fucking quit too if somebody was bending my hand like that." Ain't no way. First, you like did the little Marty Scroll shit where they snap your fingers, and then you're just bending his fingers back. I was I'm like, damn, Pete Dunne, he gives no fucks.
Him versus Zack Sabre Jr. Yeah. Him versus Zack Sabre Jr. would be great.
I'm a big fan of Pete Dunne, actually.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him go somewhere else. I think he's wasted, and I don't think he'll ever get a shot on the major roster.
Probably not. They'll throw UK
title. Oh, I know what we can talk about.
What?
Defiant Wrestling has folded.
Cool.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Defiant. That
sucks. Like they're done?
Yeah, like they're that pay-per-view done. I told you about. Yep. That's the last show they ever did.
It was tough.
A lot of great wrestlers came from there.
Well, that means there's free
Ospreay
agents.
Ospreay was talking about it. He was talking about all these great matches and how they helped his career so much. And
who did?
Ospreay.
Oh, yeah.
Was talking about stuff on it when it happened.
Marty Skrull would have talked about it. Because that's where we found Marty, Skrull.
I don't
follow
Marty, so I don't know. I'll have to... Follow Osprey because he tweets drunk. It's kind of entertaining.
Yeah, he... Osprey was in a tag team in WCPW.
Against the War Raiders. Or the War Machine.
Yes.
Viking Experience.
Who was his tag team partner?
We never figured it out. He got hurt in the match and he had to do 2v1.
I thought it was him and Saber, but I could be wrong.
Nope, probably wasn't. The guy got carried out and we never figured out what the match was.
Look at him. He's making you feel old.
Me?
Well, he's just trying to talk over me. It's because that's what little people do. They try to talk big.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. I think they took all the talent and put them in NXT UK.
Ew.
That's where all the UK talent is now.
All of Progress Wrestling is there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're allowed to go anywhere in the UK and wrestle there.
Not if they have a contract with NXT UK. Then they're NXT UK exclusive.
What, the Alexander Wolf dude wrestles there and outside?
Only in Progress.
Yeah, that's it.
Because they have a handshake agreement.
What is a handshake? Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but he can't go to Japan.
Well, why would he go to Japan?
No. I don't know. Osprey's in Japan.
Yeah.
Priestley's in Japan. Who else is in Japan?
What? B. Priestley? How does she have a New Japan thing? They don't have a women's roster.
She's in Stardom, Joe.
Stardom.
Andrew's watching more wrestling than you now. You better step your game up.
Mexico's where it's at.
Yeah. Oh, this week on there, they had Moose versus Pagano. They had a bunch of stuff. I was like, oh, man. They had a bunch of Impact wrestlers on there.
Yeah, because Impact doesn't
Stop
use
mocking
a-
me, fool. Do you see what he's doing next to me? Like, the same hand gestures and stuff?
Yeah, because you were...
He's a mini-me.
Oh. Here, take that forehead somewhere else.
Well, you guys got to tell me about that, because I didn't watch AAA.
So. Well, I didn't watch it either.
He
wanted to watch the Impact guys.
I just watched a few just to see who was there. They had a couple of Impact people were like... Tessa, I believe, was there.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Again. Jack Evans was there.
He's always there.
Nice.
He's not always there.
I've never seen him there.
Moose? Yeah, see? Boom. In your face. He's never seen him there.
Is TNA Impact or Global Force Wrestling?
It's Impact.
What is with the name changes?
It's like our podcast. First we were Street Level Floppies, now we're Indie Alley.
Well, no, originally you were jonesing for comics.
No, I'm not jonesing for shit right now, Joe. Fuck.
Jonesing
Make me sound like
comics.
A crackhead or something.
Deep dig.
That's what your old comic book podcast was supposed to be called.
Yeah, but we're talking about the stuff that we actually did, not the things that we dreamt of.
No, you started the people and stuff.
Okay. Anyways.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about wrestling, not about you just...
jonesing for wrestling.
Well, as the listeners can tell at this point, there wasn't a lot of wrestling this week, so
not
we
really.
Kind of just
just Japan.
Just so there's a pay per view tonight. I didn't write the matches down. It's $9.99. You can get it at Fight Network too.
What is it?
Impact.
Sammy Callahan versus Tessa Blanchard. That's all I know.
Yeah,
that's it.
That's a good match. And tomorrow there's a AAA.
Yes.
Good match on.
Is
Twitch
it Triple Mania?
Yes.
Ah! Yeah,
Triple Mania.
I gotta watch Triple Mania.
Yeah, there's a lot of good. There's gonna be a lot of American wrestlers that you've heard of. Oh, the Young Bucks are there. Cody's there. Omega's there.
Triple Mania. I can't wait for the tag battle royal.
And then we got Wagner versus Blue Demon, and
yes,
if Blue Demon loses, he retires. So that's Rock versus
sucks.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Is it still retires? Because someone today had a post that it's hair versus mask.
It is hair versus mask. Nobody loses.
I thought somebody said that he was retiring for good.
Well, if he loses his mask, he might retire. That's what it was.
Okay.
So who's losing hair? Dr. Wagner?
No.
Yeah.
Blue
Demon
Jr. is old. So he's going to lose his mask.
Blue Demon would lose the mask. So Dr. Wagner would lose the hair.
Yes.
Right?
Joe, pay attention.
If he loses his mask... then he would retire because Wagner won.
Again, but he's asking who loses the hair. if it's hair versus mask.
Does it look? It doesn't look like Blue Demon has hair.
So exactly. So it's
answer the freaking question. It's like a freaking debate. Are you a politician? Answer the fucking question. Stop walking around and tiptoeing and shit.
Are you gonna shave?
Tiptoeing in your Jordans. Come on. What the fuck?
Are you gonna shave his head while he doesn't take off his mask?
I'm about to shave your head in a second.
All right, we're going to move on.
How does Blue Demon lose hair?
Just stop. You're too much. You're extra. That's what you kids call it, extra. You're extra.
How do you lose hair if you wear a mask?
Joe, we already heard it.
Exactly. All right.
He won't stop. So, we have to go.
AAA. I think that's it for the weekend. Well, of course, there's lots in New Japan.
Yes, there. It's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Wednesday. There's so many days of Japan.
Oh, Jesus. I'm behind, and you just said that, and I'm like,
I'm not sure how much we're going to cover next week of Japan, because Joe and I are on a road trip.
Gotcha.
Starting Sunday.
I'm going to still watch it, though.
How are you going to watch it?
On my phone.
On your phone? You got the app?
Well, he's going to try to ask me for my passwords and stuff.
Give me your password.
But
think of it this way. If he's watching that, he'll leave you alone. He'll be quiet.
Exactly.
No, he's not, because he's going to be playing like GTA with my buddy and stuff the whole time.
Yeah, with your friend.
And they're going to be playing video games while I'm reading
wrestling game.
Reading some books and stuff to be prepared. Because I come prepared.
You're not prepared.
Yeah.
For some books. Mm-hmm. Well, you came there to hang out with your friend. You got some books. I'm about to be watching wrestling. Woo!
Okay.
Because I got to watch wrestling. You got to do both. So, ha. And you still watch more wrestling than me.
Well, on that note, I'm exhausted.
Because you're... Oh, how did they say it? You're Wavon?
What?
You're Wavon. Is that a Wevels?
Is Wavon like lazy?
Yeah. But I was saying set of Wevels. That's what the Young Bucks are saying to the Lucha Bros right now. No balls. Zero balls. Set of Wevels.
Okay.
That's what they're saying.
That just sounds weird.
Yeah.
Did you see the video where the Bucks' little kids are going like this to them?
No.
their little sons are doing that to them, or his little son.
I've been trying to put together my Mance Warner Halloween costume, actually.
Nice. All you need is a 12-pack.
Of light beer.
You already look like him.
That's fucked up, Joe. Ooh. You can go to your room. The fuck is wrong with you? I'm going to get the staple gun and staple that big-ass forehead of you. What the fuck?
Oh, peace.
Red light on. Turn that around.
Well, on that note, give your handles. Oh, my God.
You can follow me on Twitter at ComicsFred. You can follow Joe to his bedroom after this podcast.
Yeah, you can follow me at Real Comics if I survive this. You can follow our show at Indie Alley.
Anything else? Hey, how about we get a 5-star review or something? Something to get excited for.
Why am I so short in this camera?
You know, if you guys don't give us a 5-star review, Fred's not going to let Joey download that app to watch wrestling.
What?
So we're putting it on you, the listeners.
He's not watching anything.
So am I not going to be on the show next week?
Oh.
Just going to be there to talk about AAA?
No, you can go talk to Greg about AAA. No.
He doesn't even know.
Yeah. We're putting it on the listeners.
Yeah, it's on you. Save Joey. Save the donuts.
That's not nice.
That should be
red
the
light on.
What the?
All right.
Dramatic
peace,
pause.
Everybody.
We out.